This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Barry Moore. He represents the 2nd Congressional District of Alabama, member of the House Ag Committee, Veterans Affairs, and great to see you.
Thank you, Tony. It's an honor to be here.
Well, let's first start with just the fact that things are opening up again in D.C., and as they do, we're starting to see more members come back in and more, maybe more in-person hearings. But, man, for the last year or so, we've had to do this electronically, digitally. How has that been from a member's perspective?
Well, you know, as a rookie, I've only been here all of about 5 months now. So they tell me it's a lot better in person, and I kind of agree with that. I think they're, you know, doing things online is difficult sometimes. Building those relationships across the computer screen is difficult. So to be able to actually interact with the members of the committee and of other staff, it just allows us, I think, to build those personal relationships that allow you to govern well and to get input from those other people, so to speak, and to develop that relationship.
It also, maybe you could say, it was shining a light on an area that had become pretty dark, and that's the idea of rural broadband and how lacking we are when it comes to decent broadband in rural areas. Did you experience that?
We did, and I think almost overnight, as everything shut down and kids were no longer coming to classrooms and you had these connectivity issues where, you know, people were doing telemedicine. And it just seems all of a sudden you realize an area where we're really lacking. And so that has allowed us as members of the legislature and certainly on the Ag Committee with a lot of rural areas that we represent to realize that there is a need there, and that's something we need to start looking into. And I think that'll be something we'll be able to get some bipartisan support on, hopefully.
Some have referred to that as a digital divide. Is this simply one where you can throw money at it and that bridge will be built, if you will, or is it going to take some surgical work, if you will?
I think it's a little bit of both, but you know, typically government wants to throw money at the problems, and I think we need to approach it from a standpoint of let's put the money out there, but let's have some oversight in how it's implemented, because in many cases when government does this, they'll dump money, especially in broadband is a good example. They might, if we don't keep our finger on the pulse, so to speak, eye on the ball, then some of these companies will increase the speed within service areas, and then the rural areas will be left behind. And so we've got to make sure that missing mile, so to speak, where you got these communities that have internet service, but they're not connected to the true backbone of the internet, then they kind of get alienated. And so as we implement these dollars, I think money's part of the solution, but management more so, and making sure there's some accountability on how the taxpayers' money is being spent.
You mentioned taxpayers' money, which is a good segue to the estate tax. Some will refer to it as a death tax. What are you watching on that front?
Well, you know, it's a concern from small business owners to farmers, you know, and it's kind of an old saying, if your name's on the truck, you got plenty of money. People see a truck going up and down the road from a farm or from a business, and they go, well, those people have a plenty of money. But when the government comes in and there's an estate issue, and depending on how they assess the value of those assets, it can put a tremendous burden on the next generation that may want to take over the family farm or the small business. And those numbers, if we're not careful, will cause huge issues for the next generation in trying to continue the business, because you never know what the IRS is going to say the value of an old tractor is, or an old truck, or a roll-off container, or whatever the case may be. And it can really put a burden on the next generation, those families that have worked so hard for so many years to develop a business or a farm, and they've invested in the blood, sweat, and tears that goes into that, and then the government rolls in and wants more of your money, and they really don't look at the long-term ramifications of how that's going to impact the next generation. And I think that's something we've got to address.
The current age of the average farmer is approaching 60 at this point. So some say within ag, we're at a point where we need to start thinking about that next generation. And for some, it will be those who are already in the family. But what about those who might be looking to come in? Is there a path for them to come into ag? And is it feasible at this point?
That certainly is a passion of mine. Because in 1980, we quit farming because of the drought and army worms. And so my dad and my uncle sold all the equipment off. And as an ag science guy, my plan was to come back to the farm, but the numbers just didn't make sense. And you couldn't figure out a way to make a living on the family farm. And so I went off and worked in the ag industry and eventually wound up here. But I see, like, my cousin's son, he's coming back. We have the land. We have the barns. We have the old shops. But they're just sitting there empty. He's trying to come out and start a farm from the ground up. And when I talk about the amount of money that he has to borrow and the paybacks, it's so difficult, you know, to see how we protect those young farmers and how we make it where they can get on their feet and get a start, especially if they don't inherit everything they need. And so in most cases, I think that we have to figure out how to make sure young farmers have an opportunity. And I think we need to educate. I think we need to allow them to understand that there is an opportunity there and maybe give them some guidance on how to get into farming if they don't have a family member that's already doing that, to allow them to build that family farm and to continue it on for generations or maybe start it from scratch.
Are there some good, solid efforts? In other words, are there some good ways that we can accomplish that that can be put within legislation? And if so, is this something that you could see within the next few years?
Yeah, there's a couple of ways to approach it, I guess I should say. Ronald Reagan always said the government's idea on the economy is when it's moving, you tax it. If it keeps moving, you regulate it. When it fails, you subsidize it. Well, I've always felt if we would get the taxes and the regulations out of the way, then make sure the subsidies are there for the farmer. But if we'll get a lot of the government red tape out of the way, I mean, when you're starting to have the environmental issues on farms, you're starting to have the DOT issues where they're trying to move their equipment up and down the road, things we used to didn't face. And so we need to get government out of the way and allow these farms to get started, these young farmers not being discouraged with these regulations and issues and taxes or whatever the case may be. But I think, too, make sure that the programs are simple enough, these ag programs, and that they know they're going to get paid if they follow the rules. And I think that's an issue. There's a disconnect there. Some of these things are so complex, and there's so much gray area in them. I think it needs to be simple, that if this young farmer wants to do this program, if he wants to get the crop insurance, whatever the case may be, to make sure that he knows what the rules are, that he's within the rules, and that way that he won't end up in a situation where he's way, way in debt after the first 3 or 4 years of trying to get started.
Thank you for your time. Enjoyed the conversation, hearing your passion. Will you come back and see us?
I sure will, Tony. Thank you.
Again, it's the Honorable Barry Moore representing the 2nd Congressional District of Alabama on today's Agribusiness Report.